As we go into the Word now, Father, we thank you for your sweet presence. This sweet type of worship. We say that that presence we ask, we beseech you, that that presence follow us into the Word. Come and open it up, that we may behold wondrous things. Anoint me afresh. Help me speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction that's upon me, upon the ears and the hearts of all that will hear me. Those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. Let the word, Father, flow freely from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that indeed I might do it with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer in their individual lives, all agreed individually and said,
amen.
You may be seated. This afternoon, I have a very important message that the Lord dropped into me this morning. And I've entitled it, Facts, Truth, and Prayer. And underneath, in parentheses, that's in brackets, for you and for Nigeria. So we're going to look at an application of these things to us as individuals, and then to our nation in Nigeria. Facts, truth, and prayer. Let's first of all start with facts. A fact is a present physical reality. It's a fact that we're in Ibadan right now. It's a physical fact. Facts must not be ignored by Christians. In trying to exercise faith, many Christians foolishly try to ignore facts. You're not supposed to. Our father Abraham, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4, we're going to come back to this portion of scripture, but I just want to bring this out about facts. And if you read in verse 19, it says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I want to look at that in the New International Version. This is what it says. He says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to face the facts. See, facing the fact is not unbelief. Facing the facts is a preparation for warfare. Not facing the facts is presumptuousness and foolishness. He faced the fact that his body, I didn't hear you, was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb also was also dead. He faced the fact. Facts are physical. I'm going to qualify that. The Holy Spirit just gave it to me when I spoke earlier on. Present physical truths. I use the word present because they can be changed. But it does not mean they are not true now. Facts, I'm going to repeat it. Everybody say facts are present physical realities. Let's say it again. Facts are present physical realities. Turn to your neighbor and say, we must face them. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this reality. So many of us, we try and run away from, oh, I don't want to hear that. You know, I don't want to listen to this. I don't want. You got to face the facts. Now, facing the facts does not mean you're in unbelief. It means you're ready for a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. So let's move to the next thing, truth. Pilate, Pontius Pilate, asked Jesus Christ this question. Jesus said, I've come to the world to bear witness to the truth. And Pilate asked him, what is truth? Jesus didn't answer him, because you know why? He was looking at truth. Now let me tell you what truth is. Truth is what God's word has said. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 17, in verse 17. Everybody say 17:17. You can't forget it. Everybody say John 17:17. That's a simple, you can never forget that scripture. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. If you look at that in some other translations, I learned this from E.W. Kenyon actually. You know, some of these translations don't even carry it. E.W. Kenyon said the best translation of that word is reality. Thy word is reality. Now, many times, the facts are contrary to the truth. What the present physical facts are saying are different from what the truth has declared. Hence the need for prayer. That's why it's ever say facts, truth, and prayer. You see, truth is what God has spoken with his mouth and is the intention of his heart. God is not a deceiver. What he says is what he wants. He doesn't say one thing and want another thing, or will another thing. And that is why the scripture tells us in Numbers, it says that God is not a man that he should lie. He said, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Let's read it. Numbers, I know it's a familiar scripture, but you know, it's always good to read the scripture afresh. And there's a reason why he has said this. Everybody read with me. Say, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Let me paraphrase that so you can get the sense. You can get the spirit behind that scripture. God is not a man that he should lie. Why do men lie? You lie to people, lie so that they can get themselves out of trouble, or if they're in a difficult situation and they cannot find a way, then they tell a lie about it so that, you know, they can wriggle out of it. God does not have to wriggle out of any situation. He's omnipotent. He doesn't need to lie because there is nothing that is stronger than him. Then he says, and then he adds this, he said, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. God does not regret what he says. That's what that means. You know, sometimes maybe you give a promise to somebody, they say, oh, they want this, and you say, okay, come. Then afterwards, say, hey, I shouldn't have said that. I'm not sure I'll be able to meet up. Hello? That's repenting. It means you regret what you said because you lack the resources. You lack the ability. You lack the power to back what you have said. So you if you can, you go and take it back. Maybe you phone the person and say, oh, I'm so sorry. I said I was going to come, but I'm sorry. You know, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. You know, so you repent of what you say. God doesn't do that. He's not a man. He's not like you. He's not like, I shouldn't say you because you're supposed to be like God. So I should not be comparing you in that negative way. Let's just say he's not like mere men. As a more scriptural or something. Turn to your neighbor and say, did you know you are not a mere man? You're a God man. I just got a tweet. So like God, you are not a man that you should lie. Neither are you like the ordinary sons of men that you should repent. The more like God you become, the more your word becomes stable. It's called integrity. When you say something, you back it up. And you don't say what you cannot back up. Oh, glory to God. This is not in my notes. This is just free of charge. Are you listening to me? So what is truth? Truth is what God has said. And it is the ultimate reality. That's why E.W. Kenyon picked it by the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. It means the Spirit of Reality. What is reality? Reality is what stays real forever. You see, a truth that is a physical fact that is true presently may not be true in 1 year's time. It may not be true in 5 years' time. It may be true now, but it may not be true after some time. But the truth of God's word is eternally true. Thy word, O God, is settled forever in heaven. Forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. When God says something, that is the eternal reality. Irrespective of what the present facts are. If you can get what I'm teaching you this afternoon, never again will Satan be able to run rings around you. Because you will know what you're talking about. See, most Christians don't know what they're talking about. They just spew a lot of... it was E.W. Kenyon who said this also. He said, we use a lot of high-sounding spiritual phrases that have no inner resonation with our spiritual, with our heart. He said, it would seem we are playing a game of bluff. We say we meet in our meetings, each one convincing the other to do what he does not do himself. Baba Kenyon. Give the E.W. Kenyon a super clap offering. Those words struck me as a young Christian. They struck. I said, wow, this is true. He said that we're playing a game of bluff. He said, but when a man thinks through on these things, the Holy Spirit will now give him a consciousness of the reality of what he's dealing with. Then he moves from the realm of the senses to the realm of the spirit. Reality isn't what facts are. Because facts are temporal. Reality is what God has said. You know why? It is only God that is omnipotent, that has the power to back what he has said, to make what he has said real forever. Let me bring it home. I want to apply to us individually, and I want to apply to our nation, Nigeria. The facts today, this afternoon, as you're listening to me, whether you're at home or those who are physically present, may be that you have a sickness in your body. It's a fact. But the truth is, by his stripes, you were healed. The fact may be this afternoon that there is nothing in your bank account. That may be the fact. It's a fact. So don't go and write a check. It will bounce like a golf ball. See, people do silly things like that. By faith, write a check. When there's no money in your account, they will lock you in jail. See, that's stupidity. That's what gives Christians a bad name. Because they don't understand what I'm talking about. The fact is, there is no money in your bank account. But the truth is, my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's the fact. But this is the truth. That truth is superior to that fact. Because that fact is only a present reality. As at 12:15 on Sunday, the 1st of November, in the year of our Lord 2020, there may be 100 naira or 1,000 naira in your bank account. That is the fact. But it may not be so on Monday, the 2nd of November. Because of your covenant God, who says, I will supply all your need according to my riches in glory. Between now and tomorrow, you may get an alert. Ah, mama, like, yeah, praise God. How many will know that this is different from the Bible study? Everybody shouts. But Pastor Boy, can you see what I'm saying? Can you see the difference? When I was saying, if you live out of life, you shall die. Amen. Come on, bro. But now, when I say you will get a lot tomorrow morning. Ah! Some people are going to take that as a prophetic word. Pastor Lubi Disobe. Ah, Allah, Maria Lati. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. Mommy has just given us a word of wisdom. You must see the alert before you write the check. Or else, what TMLA? In our language, that means that they will lock you up. You see, that's faith. I have to now, that's where prayer comes in. Prayer is the engine, is the avenue through which we change facts to conform to truth. We don't deny the fact. We face it. Then we fight the good fight of faith. And by faith, and we release God's power, the power of the person that is behind the truth. We release the omnipotent power of the author of truth. Then that power goes into operation and it begins to change the facts. And then, after a while, the facts conform, or they line up with the truth. Then you can write your check. That is proper faith and not presumptuousness. But to write your check before you get the alert is foolishness. You know why? They want to omit prayer. They want to take a shortcut. And it will not work. the fact may be, you are single today, trusting God for a life partner. That's the fact. But the truth is, God will supply your need. And He will make you a help, meet, and suitable, and perfectly adapted for you. That is the truth. And if you will get into prayer, you will make your fact conform to the truth. The fact today, maybe you don't have a child yet, or you're barren, or you're looking for the fruit of the womb. It's a fact. Like Sarah and Abraham, like Hannah. Are you following me? It's a fact. Hallelujah. But if you start speaking the truth, I'm going to see that before we close, and you start praying, you can change that fact. You can make it now conform to the truth. It may be a fact today that you don't understand mathematics, or you don't understand physics, or you don't understand geography, or you don't understand economics, and you find it difficult to remember things. That may be a fact. But the truth is, you have the mind of Christ. And if you start applying it, the power of the Holy Spirit will energize your mind and put you into remembrance of anything you may have normally forgotten naturally. And you will start remembering what God remembers. And you will have an incredible photographic memory. And you can change that fact to align with the truth. I speak to those who are here. I speak to those who are listening to me at home and wherever you are all over the world. I don't care what the facts are in your life this afternoon. If you will do what I'm about to teach you, those facts will change. Remember our definition. They are present physical realities. The word present means that they are subject to change. What is a fact this afternoon may not be a fact this evening. Let me go a step. The Lord gave me this when I was preparing this prayer. You know, when I get my messages, I dance myself. May I know if I get excited and you get excited on it. You know, the Lord downloads the thing to me. He said, do you know it was a fact that Jairus' daughter was dead? It was a fact. Jairus comes to Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and he says, my daughter is sick, but come and lay hands on her. At the point of death, lay hands on her and she will live. The man had faith and just encouraged him. Just said, yes, let's go. On the way, he's delayed by the woman with the issue of blood. And she gets healed. Then messengers come from Jairus' house and they say, and it was a fact, troubleth not the master anymore, for thy daughter is dead. Fact! Just didn't deny it. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, fear not, only believe. I speak to you watching now, fear not, only believe. Your facts may not be lining up with the word of God this afternoon. Fear not, only believe. And Jesus goes to the house with all the throng. He gets there, everybody is weeping and crying. Then he says something that sounds funny. He said, why weepest thou and make much ado? You know, the Jews remind me of the Yoruba people. We have the same, we have some of the same culture. We're just the same. You know how it is. Everybody will be weeping and crying and whipping up emotion. Hey, hello, did you hear me? Hello, nothing has changed. People are the same. You know, people were weeping and they were crying. You know, You can imagine the poor mother, you know, 12-year-old girl, she has died atalashe. In our language, that means, who have we offended? That is our little girl that should die. You know, and people had come, you know, their relatives and friends and everybody was. You can imagine how emotionally charged that atmosphere was. And here comes in the rabbi from Nazareth. I can just see him. The rabbi from Nazareth. You see, most people didn't know he was Son of God. Some did, but you know. And he stands in the midst of all of them. And he says, why make this a weep not? Why make this ado? For the girl is not dead, but sleepeth. He began to operate a law that they did not understand. He was not denying the fact that she was sleeping, that she was dead. He was superimposing truth upon the fact so that the fact would change. I just got another tweet. You know what? Dead people don't get up when you say arise. But sleeping people get up. If a person is dead and you say arise, they will not arise. But if they are sleeping and you say arise, they will arise. So Jesus said, she sleepeth. I just got another tweet. The truth said, she sleepeth. So the truth now became, she sleepeth. The truth spoke the truth. Glory be to God. The truth said, she sleepeth. The minute the truth said that now became the truth. And that truth became superior to the fact that she was dead. Now, this is just a side. The people who are crying started laughing. Shows you the depravity of the human heart. The dishonesty of the human heart. They said, and they laughed him to scorn. I thought they were weeping. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Let me ask you a question. If it was your own daughter, God forbid, your daughter will not die at 12. But if it was your daughter and a reputable rabbi or pastor who has been known to do great miracles, who's just healed a woman who has an issue of blood for 12 years on his way to your house. And he comes and says, why are you crying? Don't worry, the little girl is only sleeping. Would it not evoke faith? Would you not want to say, ha, praise God? You know, they did not only laugh, but they laughed him to scorn. You know, the Yorubas and the Jews, they're so similar. I can imagine if it's Yoruba, I say, ah, Allah Kori. Emama Dalon. Omoti Kolonsu. Laughed him to scorn. And because of the unbelief in the air, unbelief is a spirit. In the hearts of men, in the words of men, the laughter was a laughter of unbelief. It was a laughter of scorn. And Satan does that thing. So even their laughter was releasing unbelief into the air. In order to be able to operate properly in faith, Jesus had to get rid of them. So he said, the Bible says he got all of them. He got rid of all of them. He said, Jairus, just pack these people out. Then he even going with the 12, because not all the 12 were that all level of faith. He went in with 3. Peter, James, John, the daddy and the mommy. The people who wanted to believe that the child will live. I just got another tweet. The people who would agree with the truth.
and they go in. And then he acts out what he said. She's sleeping. If she's sleeping, then wake her up. And says, daughter, I the truth. His name is I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is Jesus' middle name. He has a lot of names. So truth said, made I the truth. Will be paraphrased. Say unto thee, arise. She's sleeping, so she arose. Give the Lord a clap offering. The power of the omnipotent God who speaks the truth, the eternal reality, had gone into operation. So the girl, the physical fact changed from the fact that she was dead to the fact that she was sleeping. He's going to raise Lazarus. I preached on this recently, but it bears repetition here. Jesus has prayed it through. That's why he stayed where he was for 2 days. And he said, I'm glad I wasn't there, to the intent that you may believe. Then he tells his disciples, our friend Lazarus, he does it again. The same thing he did with Jairus' daughter. I'm showing you facts and truth. It was a fact. Lazarus was not only dead, he had been buried for 4 days. Yet the truth said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. I go to awaken him. They didn't understand. He said, if he takes rest in sleep. So he now told them, this is why we must never deny facts. Face facts. Jesus now told them the fact. He said, Lazarus is dead, but I'm going to awaken him. The power of the truth, the power of God's word, is superior to your physical facts. The physical facts are temporal. God's word is eternal. And we know the story. I'm not going to go into all the details. He gets there and he raises Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. After all, if he's sleeping and he says, Lazarus, come forth, he will hear and he will get up. And that's exactly what he did. Give the Lord a clap offering. May God help us to understand. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And then we're going to see the importance of... I can't go there yet. I have to talk about Nigeria. We're going to get there in a minute. I'll get Nigeria. I've talked about individual, you know, healing, prosperity, life partner, academics, whatever. Nigeria. The fact is, as of today, there's corruption in Nigeria. It's a fact. Don't deny it. Our leaders, majority of them, are insincere. Many of them are corrupt. Many of them are self-centered and selfish. Fact. Don't deny it. As I speak this afternoon, there is complaining in our streets. Fact. As I speak right now, there is hunger and poverty in the land. As I speak this afternoon, many of our young people are on the road. No job, no employment. They're not grown up as plants. Many of our daughters are not polished after the similitude of a palace. They are prostitutes
in Italy. Prostitutes in Nigeria selling their bodies for a piece of muscle so that they can eke out a living and an existence. Fact. But what does the truth say? Psalm 144. It was some years ago, the Holy Spirit led me to this scripture. I'd read it over the years, but I didn't apply it to Nigeria. I didn't know there was a prophetic reference. And it's not only for Nigeria, it's true for any country that will fulfill the conditions, which we shall see. And so, sound around for this is the truth. This is what God says. Though what I've told you now are the facts. Since 1960, we have been plagued with inept leadership, corrupt leadership, self-centered leadership, both in the north as well as in the south, and in the entire country. I was almost weeping, days ago when I was seeing what was going on the news, about what's going on in Nigeria. Even this morning, as I was meditating on this message, the Holy Spirit flashed to me my own childhood when I was growing up. And the Nigeria I grew up in is a completely different picture from the Nigeria of today. And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me, honey? He said that you people were enjoying the leftover from the British. We got independence in 1960. By the grace and the mercy of God, I was born in 1959. I was 1 year old when Nigeria got our independence. Many of the infrastructure, the ethics, the influence that we inherited from the British was still in operation. The way the civil service was run, the way the transportation system was run, all of these things were things we inherited from the British, and for a while, it's like a ripple effect. That effect was still there, but it gradually began to ebb. I can never forget my secondary school education. I went to CMS Grammar School, to the glory of God. In Form 1, I did 14 subjects, or 15, including woodwork. In Form 1, my textbooks that I collected from the principal, they used to give all of us textbooks, they were this high. I studied in Form 1, Greek mythology, Hercules, Medusa the Gorgon. I didn't school in England. I schooled in Nigeria. The Battle of Hastings. English history, as well as Nigerian history. The Songhai Empire, the Ghanaian Empire, the Oyo Empire. I'm not talking about university, I'm talking about secondary school. Form 1, 15 subjects. Where did we get it from? We inherited it. The education was so good. Oxford Learner's Dictionary. We studied practical English. There was the book we used to read for English. They taught you about verb transitive, verbs, nouns, everything. There was a book in primary school called Brighter Grammar. How many people remember it? This same Nigeria
this same Nigeria.
You know, people meet me, you know, because of the way I talk, people think maybe I schooled abroad. No, I went abroad later, you know, for postgraduate, but all my first education was here in Nigeria. Solid education. Solid. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. And I want to give kudos, you know, and recognition to the work of Chief of Obafemi Awolowo. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. What we are enjoying today, many of us came from that era. You know, we often feel that Awolowo ruled for many years. He ruled for only four. It goes to show you what a purposeful leadership can do. Awolowo did not rule for 8 years. He didn't rule for 10 years. He ruled for only four. 55 to 59. The impact of 4 years of purposeful directional leadership is still rippling after 60, 70 years. And the rot, and the foolishness of bad rule, we are feeling the cancerous effect of those bad rules, and they rule for longer than he and shorter than he. In other words, we are feeling the effects of bad rule from, you know, after the Gowon regime did well to some degree, you know, but particularly after that, all the things we're suffering now have been a cumulative effect of bad leadership that has ate into the fabric, the very fabric of the nation. When I went to University of Ibadan, by the grace and the mercy of God, September 1974, I was just 15 plus, 16 years old, entering the University of Ibadan. We had two in a room. You will not believe it, but it's true. We were only two in my room. I was in Sultan Bello Hall. They used to wash our clothes. Not just bedsheet, and your clothes. You just drop your clothes on Friday. It comes washed and ironed and laundered by Monday. I used to bath 3 times a day. I will shower in the morning at 6. If I have an 8 o'clock lecture, I will go for lectures. When I come in back and it's already hot and all that, I'll take another shower. Then in the night, before I go out, maybe I want to go and watch a film in KS, or, you know, I just want to relax and I'm feeling a little bit hot, I take another shower. They are looking at me. This is an alternate universe. It's the truth. We used to eat with 50 kobo. Not 1 naira, 50 kobo. 10 kobo for breakfast, 20 kobo for lunch, 20 kobo for dinner. And they were 3-course meals. So I said, I don't want jelly, I want ice cream. 3 pieces of chicken. You had choices. I don't want jollof rice, I want ordinary rice, and I want plantain. You know, I don't want this, I don't want that. 20 kobo. Ah, honey, an enemy has done this. People will get bursary. Ogun State bursary. Federal government bursary. You know, sometimes it's 1,000 naira. Sometimes it's 500. Sometimes it's 750 naira. With that bursary, people used to go for summer. My wife is a... My wife thought you could do anything with 500 naira. And really, you could do a lot. as a student, my return ticket to London was 150 naira. No, 300. 150, one we want that. The normal ticket was 600 naira. But because I was a student, I was given 50% rebate. And I didn't fly British Airways, I flew Nigerian Airways. Naira. So if you just use 300 for your ticket, the remaining 200, you buy £200. You find a friend or you stay in bread and breakfast. You find Nigerian students or people will leave Ibadan on Friday, go to London and come back on Sunday evening. Because in those days you didn't need a visa to enter England. You have a Nigerian passport, your Commonwealth citizen, they just give you admission for 6 months. But nobody ran away. Nigeria was better than going to England. Give the Lord a clap offering. An enemy has done this. This is what happened. I'm giving all of the, you know, I'm painting a very graphic picture. That's the Nigeria I grew up in. That's the Nigeria I grew up in. When I was in University of Ibadan, half of our lecturers were expatriates. And what I mean by expatriates is that they were on transfer. Nigerian lecturers would go, like one of my teachers, I'm very proud of him, Dr. Oluagunloye, you know, who was in charge of FRSC. You know, he taught me physics, mathematical methods and all of that. I mean, he's probably listening to this message. You know, he went to MIT on an exchange program, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Then guys from MIT will come to University of Ibadan. So the guys that taught me, you know, Laplace transform and differential equations and linear algebra were from California Institute of Technology, Oxford University. The same Nigeria. So when you got a first class from University of Ibadan and you take it to Imperial College, they don't interview you. You are given admission instantly. That's what happened to me. I didn't want to go to Imperial. I wanted to go to MIT. I said, let me just fill it, Sha. My admission letter came. Do you remember my youth call? No interview. But alas, the corruption has already eaten in. I'm talking about 1978. I graduated in 1978, 79. By 81, 82, the mid-80s, 86, 87, they started closing university down. Things started getting rotten. People started going out. Because of bad leadership. And here we are today. ASUU is on strike. Our children, our young people who are in the public university, they can't go to school. I told you the other day, 10,000 professors, something like that, their total salary is maybe about 5 billion. Those figures are not exact, but the range is correct. Whereas the salary of the 200 or 300 House of Representatives and Senators, their own salary is 120 something billion. What does a House of Rep or a Senator know that a professor does not know? That a professor should be paid less. This is injustice. These are the facts. But they will change.
Psalm 144. Now let's read from verse 10. It is He, turn to your neighbor, he's talking about God, that giveth salvation unto kings.
I didn't hear you.
And delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Read me and deliver me from the hand of strange children. See, strange children, they are mean strange children. Let me just say it in a very simple way. I'm going to use our language because Yoruba language, you know, and many of our native languages are very, there are things you say it in English, but you don't say it. But when you say it in Yoruba, you know, you really say it, you know, Omwale. How many people know what that means? Bastard. Strange children. People who should never have gone near government. Who should never, they should never have smelt anything near government house. Strange children. And this is not only true in the government, but also true in the church. Bad leadership. He said that if you endure chastening, then God dealeth with you as sons. But if you are not, if you don't allow God to chasten you, then are ye bastards and not sons. Strange children. We have them in leadership position. That is why beggars are riding and princes are walking. But it will change. I'm going to correct that, honey. You know what the Lord just told me? It is changing. Read me! Because everybody say, read Nigeria! And deliver us from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. There's somewhere I want to go, but maybe I shouldn't go there. Just to get the truth about what has happened in this NSAS is taking 1 week, 2 weeks. Nobody knows the truth. How many children died? We don't know. There's something wrong. It has to change. It's a simple thing. If you made a mistake, you made a mistake. I'm sorry. Then let's deal with it. Not say this, not say that. Read me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. This is a deep statement. Because the right hand there actually speaks of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially when we pray in tongues. It's talking here about the spiritual now. I just mentioned this. You know, the Bible says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. He said, if I have not love, I am a tinkling cymbal, you know, and I'm an empty cymbal, a tinkling cymbal, a right hand of falsehood. Noise, no power. Because they are strange children. That are sons. This is the truth now. We've seen the facts. Now we're looking at the truth. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That our garners may be full. Then they won't be running after palliative. They will not be running and ransacking. My wife and I were laughing. There was one girl on television. She said, we are possessing our possessions. They said, after all, the palliative is for the people. It's for the masses. So by going to God, we're just possessing our possessions. I in no way endorse looting is wrong. And a lot of it was just outright greed and thievery. But there was truly a hunger in the land. There is truly a hunger in the land. But the Bible says that the truth says that our garners may be full. I didn't hear you. Affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor. In today, you will say that our factories may be producing all manner of goods and services. And that was an agricultural society, so he used oxen. Today, you know, do you know that Nigeria should not really necessarily have to import anything? The kind of people we have, our people are so ingenious, our people are so productive, that if you give them a level playing field and you give them the right raw materials, there is nothing they are producing in America, in England, that we cannot make in Nigeria. We should buy our cars in Nigeria. How can we be importing toothpick? God forbid, bad thing. Yes, Nigeria is strong enough. Human potential, mineral resources. We have gold. We have all manner of minerals that can be converted to use in electronic production. Instead of exporting those things to the West, we say, come, Apple, come and do your factory here. And you know what? If the atmosphere was right, they will come. Because the labor here will be cheaper than the one in America. That's why they went outsourced to China. What is wrong? An enemy has done this. But this is the truth. That our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in, nor going out. You know as well as I do that now the facts are that there is breaking in. That there be no complaining in our streets. This is the truth. You know who spoke it? God. This is eternal reality. This is what God wants for Nigeria. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Notice he didn't say Israel. That's why this prophetically will apply to any nation that will make God their Lord. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. The Hebrew will say, whose God is Jehovah. So, in closing, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. We're talking about, everybody say facts, truth, and prayer. While we look not at the things which are seen. Turn to him and say, those are the facts. But at the things which are not seen. Tell your neighbor, say, that's the truth. And I told you the other day, seven of them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, the life of God, the word of God, the angels of God. That is, all those seven are what is behind truth. That is why truth will always prevail and change the facts. For the things, don't you ever say, the facts which are seen are temporal. Turn to your neighbor and say, they are temporary. They are subject to change. In fact, as we're speaking, they are changing. Give the Lord a clap offering. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So how do you go from facts to truth? That's where prayer comes in. I taught this recently, and I'm just going to mention it as we close. And it is this.
When we talk about faith and changing physical facts to conform with spiritual truth, majority of Christians have only heard and emphasized, which is probably more accurate, truth, what we call positive confession and positive thinking. So, you know, don't think negative. Only say what God says. Only say what God says. And that is correct. But it's only half the story. In order to superimpose truth upon facts and change the facts to conform to the truth, you need to pray in the Spirit. And that's why the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, in verses 26 to 29. Let's quickly go there. Romans 8, 26 to 29. Am I helping anybody here? Talk to me, somebody. Likewise, let me read this from the New King James Version. Or the New International Version, I think, is even better. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know. Turn to your neighbor and say, you don't know. Only God knows. We do not know. You know, it takes humility to accept that. We think we know. One man of God was praying one day, and he was trying to make prophetic declarations and everything. This was his own testimony. He said, and he was, you know, struggling and all that. Then the Holy Spirit said, why don't you let me do it? The Holy Spirit told him. The Holy Spirit said, let me do it. You don't know what's going on. I do. And then he started praying in tongues. Let me do it. Does that mean we shouldn't make prophetic like we do? You know, after inspiration from the Holy Spirit. And that's why you find our practice here, mommy's doing all the time. We first of all pray a lot in the Spirit. It is after we pray in the Spirit, we now make declarations. Because those declarations now have been birthed and have been inspired by the Holy Spirit, not just something we just think with our head. For we do not know what we ought to pray. For the Spirit Himself, I didn't hear you, He intercedes for us through wordless groans. See, there's difference between groaning and speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is articulate. Groan is not articulate, it's just a groan. It's a release of pure power. And He who searches our hearts, I didn't hear you, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints. The King James says that. New International says God's people. For the saints, in accordance to the... How many people want the will of God in their life? Let me say it another way. How many people want the truth to be prevalent in their lives? Pray in the Spirit. Incidentally, you know what His name is? The Spirit of Truth. And we know that in some things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You know what's going to happen? When you start, you should do positive confession. You should do positive thinking. Now, that does not mean you neglect the facts. You accept the facts as they are initially, you know. Then you begin to speak God's word. Then you begin to pray in the Spirit. When you begin to pray, that the Holy Ghost begins to intercede, and He begins to work on men, on circumstances, and He begins to move and manipulate circumstances and men, and He begins to watch this, change the facts to conform to the truth. The other thing you need to do is thanksgiving. The Bible says Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The facts are still there, but I begin to thank God that the truth is, the facts are conforming, are being changed to conform to the truth, even while the facts are still there. And that's why, in times of something, you give thanks to God. Then another very important thing is forgiveness. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. These are the four things that cause the operation of faith to be effective. Positive confession, praying in the Spirit, constant thanksgiving, constant forgiveness. As you begin to do this, the power of God, who is the author of truth, begins to work upon your temporal facts, and it begins to change those present physical realities. It begins to work on them, and it will change them to conform to the truth. God is changing Nigeria as we speak, because some of us are not keeping our mouths shut. We say it is well with Nigeria. We are praying in the Spirit constantly for Nigeria. We are giving thanks for Nigeria, even though the facts are not very pleasant at the moment. We're forgiving, and we're walking in love, so that the will of God for Nigeria will come to pass. God's purpose for this country will not be aborted. Stand to your feet. Turn to your neighbor and say, there is hope for Nigeria. Say, it is well with Nigeria. Oh, I just got a text. Elijah and Elisha. The woman, her son was dead. Not an easy thing, no. Ask any woman. God forbid it should happen to you. They asked her, they said, how is the son? She said, it is well. It is well. It is well. It is well. Don't your neighbor say, how is Nigeria? No. Ask the question. Say, how is Nigeria? Now reply. How is your son? It is well. How is Nigeria? I'll say, how is Nigeria? How is Nigeria? It is well. It is well. It is well. It is well. Give the Lord a clap offering. The days are coming. The hour is coming, and now is, when you will school in University of Ibadan, it will be better than when I was in school. You will school in University of Ife, and it will be better than when Pastor Gwega was there. You will school in University of Jos, and it will be better than when Mommy was there. It is well. They came to Elijah. Elijah told Ahab, he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. But the rain didn't come like that. He got on top of Mount Carmel and put his head between his knees. Then he prayed. Then he said, go and see. Is there anything? He said, there is nothing. Go and see. Is there anything? Go and see. The facts are still there. Go and see. Go and see. Go and see. Something was happening. The facts began to change. And there was a small fist about the hand of the fist of a man. And the clouds got dark. And rain came. You can change your facts to conform to the truth. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works.
He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for us. He will be our guide. Hold us closely to his side. Love and strength for this new day. He will make a way.
Sickness, but it's only a fact. Maybe financial difficulty, but it's only a fact. It may be because you're looking for a life partner, you're even believing for your children. It's only a fact. Whatever it is, nothing is impossible. Go and find out what the truth has said and superimpose it on the facts. And the facts will change. And then for our nation, Nigeria, it's a fact of the problems we've highlighted, but they are changing. God is working in a way we cannot see. He is now our guide, and He's holding us closely to His side in Nigeria, and He will make a way. Amen. And there will be no war. There will be no breakdown of law and order. And all that has God has spoken the truth. Our Ghanas will be full. Our young people will grow up. Our young men as plants in their youth. Our daughters like polished after the similitude of a palace. Our oxen, we will be producing everything in Nigeria. Nigeria will be full of cottage industries. Producing and exporting to the rest of the world. The whole world will come here and buy food. In the name of Jesus. And we will rid us of strange children. Both in the church and in the government. All strange children are going. God will do it. Raise that hand. Put your hand out. Whatever it is you are believing God is as individual, believe God for it as I pray now. And then we also pray for the nation. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. We confess our sins, especially the sin of unbelief, because of the facts that we see every day. But we thank you for your word that has told us that they are only temporary. And that the things we do not see, your presence, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, the life of God, the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the angels of God, are eternal. And they are changing the things that we can see. Father, we receive a miracle. Miracles in our individual lives. Miracles in our nation Nigeria in Jesus' name. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Rema Sheleba, Father, thank you, Lambrigetolomo Shengara. Lord Jesus, thank you, Ramentos Kefrenia. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you, Remengedolomashala.
Rematofrenem. Nongara glamatolomatofres. Dolomatolomatofredengaras. Nengaradolomatofrenes. Neshkofredilamatofrenengaradas. Gelia. Ricotofre. Ramasha. Ramtolomachos. Rinoso. Randeles. Zelikitofrenea. Rotste. Rimnesheya. Yok. Yera. Toskefrede. Nongardalashek. Nombredilamatofrenengask. In Jesus' name, you have your miracle. Your facts are changing. Your facts are changing to align with the truth. In Jesus' name. And we will say that you are good. And all the miracles you've done has brought us joy. For we are changed, and all the hopes we have, we're praising you right now.
For we are God. Importunity in all those four things. Importunity in positive confession. Importunity in praying in the spirit. Importunity in thanksgiving. Importunity in forgiveness.
Keep on praying, expecting something to happen. It will happen. The unrighteous judge did not come because he was a righteous judge. He came because the woman wouldn't let him rest. The woman says, avenge me of my adversaries. She kept knocking on her door. And that man said, I wouldn't answer this woman because I'm righteous. But if I don't give her what she wants, she would not let me rest. We would not hold our peace. We would not hold our peace.
We will not hold our peace. Until Nigeria shines with the glory of God. Hallelujah. Our children and our grandchildren are going to inherit a better Nigeria.
So when you wake up for Good Morning Jesus and coming to pray for Nigeria, that is what you're doing. Hallelujah. You are rewriting the history. And we will not hold that peace. We will not give Papa God rest. Until he makes Nigeria praise and fame upon the earth. And look, it's happening. Hallelujah. We become trailblazers. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Father, we declare that we love you. We declare our everlasting love for you.
have a word for our leaders in this country. I had mentioned it when I ministered last week and today, but I want to make it comprehensive and a spin-off from what I heard Professor Bolaji Akinyemi say. There are immediate things that can be done. These young people on the road, these young people, take them into the army. Take them into the police force. And you will kill two birds with one stone. Remove insecurity and at the same time remove unemployment. The money that is being used for silly things should be redirected in the right direction. We don't need conference. We don't need any long thing. This can be done tomorrow. God will speak to them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, for God satisfied and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is well with you and it is well with Nigeria. In Jesus' name.